Boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
astronomical
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, at the grocery store, hanging out on the beach, or even
while you're cooking in your kitchen.
I'm joined here in the Barcelona studio, or at least we're both in Barcelona, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
I'm great, thank you. Very good.
Soon, I guess we'll actually be able to record in person because it seems like things are getting less strict. There's less panic.
Definitely, yeah. That would be so great after after quite a few months of working in the same city, but in different homes, in different places. It would be really cool to get together.
Yes, it's crazy that we both live in the same place, but we've actually never met in person yet. So it's still a very virtual relationship.
It is, but that's great because we have something to look forward to.
Exactly. So basically, what are we talking about today, Andrea?
So today we're talking about words that are different in American and British English. So you'll actually find that so many words are different and it can actually be quite confusing, especially if you're traveling to America or to the UK, because you might have a specific word in mind that is actually different in one of those countries.
Totally. Or even if you just have the background that you've been studying British English or you studied American English and then you travel or you're like working with Americans or Brits and, you know, sometimes it can kind of cause funny misunderstandings. Maybe it can even get you in a little bit of trouble depending on the word. There's a couple certainly that can get you into trouble, which we might talk about. But it's important to be aware of these differences so that, you know, like if you're speaking to a British person and you've always studied American English, for example, that if they have like a strange look on their face, maybe you've said some word that has a different meaning in British English or vice versa.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's really, really useful, you know, so that there aren't any misunderstandings. And I just remember growing up and watching American movies and TV series and being fascinated when I would hear a word that I didn't understand. And so I just think over many years of learning these words, I think it's great to learn them and to share them because it's really interesting.
Yeah, and it's really fun too because, like, you know, you're fluent in the language and everything, you've grown up with it, but even for us, you know, with it being our language and stuff, there's like a whole new thing to discover when you start talking to people who come from a different background. So it's a really fun part of the language is that you never know all of it. So this can be very useful for you as an English learner, whether you're wanting to travel, whether you want to watch a TV series that comes from the UK or the United States. Maybe it will even open your mind up to other accents because there's not just British and American English. There's Australian, there's South African, there's from Belize, India even.
Ireland.
Yeah, so many different accents that you have in English. And then there's global English, so I think just being aware of these things can help you to be a better global citizen. So that said, we're going to be talking about those in just a little bit. But first, let's take a look at who we have a shout out for today. So today's shout out comes from a fan from China who left us a 5-star review over on Stitcher. And their name, at least on Stitcher, is Arcos. So he or she says, great podcast for English learners. I am an English learner from China, but I find what I've learned from my English class is hard to be used to in daily English conversation, and learning the language is not enough to understand people from other countries. This podcast is an extremely good complementary material for me to know how English speakers think and express and even how to have a better life. So that was a really awesome 5-star review. I think it's perfect, actually, what they said about, you know, being able to understand people from other countries, because we're going to get into that a little bit today. And if you want us to shout you out on the podcast, it's really simple. You just have to head over to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening and leave us a 5-star review, and we will give you a shout out on one of our future episodes. And the other benefit of this is that it helps other people to discover this podcast and have a lot of fun learning with us. So that said, let's roll into today's quote.
So today's quote is by Albert Einstein, and it is this: everybody is a genius, But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid.
That is a really excellent one. I love that one as well. But what the heck does that mean? So how can a fish be judged on its ability to climb a tree?
So I think this is so important. There's actually an illustration that goes with it. So maybe we could link it down below for people to see as well, because that really helps to give you an overall understanding of what it means. You know, a fish swims in the sea. It likes to be in water. It's not actually able to climb a tree. It would be impossible. So what it really means, I think, a lot of education systems, even still to this day, unfortunately, kind of paint everyone with the same brush. That is to say, like, expect all their students to be at the same ability, to be able to do the same things, and don't recognize their individuality and what makes them special. And if you're used to that, especially when you're learning in a school or just in general in life, if you're not recognized for your talents and the things that make you different, and you're expected to be the same as everyone else, then you will grow up thinking that you're not good enough or that you are stupid. And that's why I just love this quote, because it's a reminder of that.
Totally. I think it's really fantastic for just like how education is, even as you said, even nowadays. I mean, I definitely grew up in a system that kind of relied on standardized testing and things like this, that doesn't necessarily actually measure in such an accurate way how smart someone is, you know, because maybe you don't do so well, for example, in like the things that you have to do on these standardized tests, like math and science, doesn't mean that you don't have like other talents that are equally valuable. So, and I think another thing that's really interesting, maybe that it's getting at, is like how a lot of times we're kind of pressured, whether it's by our parents, by our school, by our society, that, you know, we, in order to be successful, we have to do certain things. So be it like, you know, being a lawyer or a doctor or something else like this, that a lot of people see as like, you know, you're successful if you do one of those things, but, you know, that's not really fit for everyone. And maybe if you're trying to fit into what everyone else thinks that you should be, you're going to be missing out on something that you're really passionate about or that you really have a talent that you can share with the world. So I think it's kind of being playful and curious and discovering your passions and giving your contribution to the world in that way.
Exactly. And, you know, recognizing that that is so amazing and what makes life so interesting. And I do feel that things have started to change in the last few years, and people are being more celebrated for their talents and the things that make them individuals. Mm-hmm. But we do still obviously have a way to go. But, you know, we've made a start. So that's really, really important.
Yeah. Little by little, right?
Yeah.
So this is a very interesting topic, and we'll for sure talk about it more in a future podcast. But today, of course, we are going to be talking about some differences in vocabulary in British and American English. So let's jump into today's main topic. All right, so basically what we're going to do is Andrea and I will take turns. We're going to be kind of describing a different word, and we're going to ask the other person how they would call that in their country, and see if it's different or it's the same. So do you want to do the honors to start first, Andrea?
Okay, sure. So I visited the hairdresser this week for the first time in months. So maybe I'll start with one that's kind of related to this. So if you get your hair cut, usually a woman might have her hair cut in a way where she has a fringe.
Okay, a fringe.
Yeah.
In the US, we would call those bangs.
Yes. So I found this one really interesting. I think the first time I ever heard it was probably watching a TV series or a movie and thinking, what the hell is bangs? Because it's so different, isn't it? It's a very different word.
It is. And it's quite funny. It's even like fringe is singular, bangs is plural. So like in the US, we kind of see it as like, I guess, all the hairs that are in the front. And in the UK, you see it more as like one unified thing.
That's true. I didn't think of that. That's really interesting.
So that's a great one to start off with, because, you know, if you're traveling and you need to get a haircut in the US, you definitely need to say bangs, because they won't know what a fringe is, and vice versa. Maybe you'll have more luck in the UK, because we were talking about before we actually started recording that I think Brits maybe tend to be more aware of American vocabulary than Americans are of British vocabulary, just because of the influence of Hollywood and all of these things.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's a really great one to start off with. Let me think of a different one. Okay, so I think something that's really perfect is because a lot of times, you know, you're have like family or something and in different places, and you have to like learn all these words for like kids or for babies. Mm-hmm. So what would you call the thing that you put on a baby, basically like when they're really small and they don't know how to use the toilet yet? What would you call this?
Yeah, so we would call this a nappy.
Okay, and in the US we would call it a diaper.
Yeah.
In fact, the British word's a lot more fun, because that's like words in with a Y in English at the end, mm-hmm. tend to be kind of like diminutive, right? Like it's kind of like a way to make words cuter. So like yeah. the British definitely sounds more like a word you'd use with a kid, whereas like diaper sounds very formal.
Yeah, because I don't know if I'm making this up, but would you sometimes hear people say, oh, we need to get you a new diapy or something just to make it cute? Or is that something we do in the UK? I don't know.
I suppose you could say diapy yeah. in that way. But would you say like, I'm going to go out and buy nappies, or do you say I'd go out and buy diapers?
No, we do say I need to buy some nappies. Yeah.
Okay, so there's no like more formal word for it.
No, we wouldn't really use diaper unless it's, you know, to communicate that to family or something from the States.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And you do have family in the States, so you have to...
Yeah.
You have to know those kind of words, right?
Yeah, definitely. I've learned a lot more since I've had family living over there.
So what are some other ones that you've learned? Or give the description of it anyway.
Yeah, so one that you would use, like if your baby's crying or you want to try and put them to sleep and quieting them down a little bit, you put this in their mouth.
Okay, so it'd be a pacifier in the US.
Yeah, I find that such a formal word for it. I suppose because ours, again, is a cuter word. So mm-hmm. yeah, in the UK, we call this a dummy.
Dummy. Mm-hmm. So I think there probably would be like another word that you would say in the US, you could say like pacifier or passy,
mm-hmm.
but certainly maybe dummy would seem a bit cuter than that.
Yeah, but you have to be careful, wouldn't you? Because in America, if you call someone a dummy, you could be quite offensive, right?
Exactly. That's not a great word to call someone. If you were to say that, like something like give him a dummy or something in the US, maybe someone would understand it in the wrong way and think that you're calling their kid a dummy, and they probably would not be so flattered by that. They might not be very happy with you. So
yeah.
You definitely need to be careful not to use that one in the US. Although I just thought of, in the US, there is a very famous lollipop brand that's called Dum Dums.
Oh.
So I wonder if it comes from the same thing.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I also remember I think the first time I saw the word pacifier was for this movie with Vin Diesel. I think it's called The Pacifier. And I was thinking, why is it called The Pacifier? And then I understood it better, you know, like he's like a nanny, isn't he, in it? Or he looks after some kids in that film, yeah.
Yeah. So it's probably called like a pacifier in English because it like makes the baby peaceful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like pacifies to make something peaceful. And dummy probably comes from dumb, right? Which is like someone that's mute is dumb is another way to say it.
Yeah, probably like, yeah, to kind of make something quiet. Yeah, mute.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I just said a word like lollipop. Would you say the same word for like, you know, that candy that you suck on?
Yeah, we say lollipop as well. But I do have another word that kind of maybe links quite well to that one.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not an ice cream, but something that you would eat when it's really hot that's similar to an ice cream, but that's made without milk. Mm-hmm. What would you call that?
That's a popsicle, of course.
Yeah, see, we call that an ice lolly.
That makes a lot of sense, though. I think that's one that maybe would make, like, an American would understand what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
But definitely, like, the first time I heard that ice lolly, it's like, very, very literal. But again, it's a more fun word, I think, than popsicle.
Yeah. Yeah, all these words that end in Y. I think popsicle is popsicle the actual stick, like the wooden stick or like plastic stick sometimes that it's actually onto, the thing that you hold onto to eat it?
Well, we call those popsicle sticks.
Ah,
so
okay.
You can like build things out of them and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what the popsicle actually comes from. I think maybe there's a brand called Popsicle, and maybe we associate all of them with that brand.
Yeah, that's true. Because it kind of makes you think of icicle as well.
Mm-hmm. And an icicle, of course, is like those like sharp, pointy things of ice that you get in the winter that you don't want to fall on your head. So it's almost, but you could like, I guess you can grab one of those. When I was a kid, I would do that sometimes because we get them in Colorado a lot in the winter. So you'd like grab them and like start sucking on them when I was like really little, which my mom didn't like because you have no, they're probably very dirty and stuff. So.
Yeah.
Better a popsicle than an icicle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you want to choose another one? Do you have maybe any other sweet things that go along with your ice lolly?
Yeah, so I used to love eating this growing up. Whenever we had like fun fairs and things like that, you would always find this. Like it probably was the only place you would find it, I think, when I was growing up. And it's in Greek, actually, the name translates to old lady's hair, which is quite funny.
How delicious.
Yeah. But no, it's yeah, so it's usually pink and yeah, it's made from sugar. It's just pure sugar, really. Do you know what I'm talking about, Ethan?
I do. That would be cotton candy.
Yeah, cotton candy. So we call it candy floss.
Candy floss. I think that's the same as in Spanish, isn't it? It's something, I think they call it something with floss as well.
Oh, okay. I don't know the Spanish word for it.
Mm-hmm. But they must, maybe they got that from British.
Yeah.
But the cotton candy, because it's like cotton that you would, I don't know, that's like you stuff a pillow with, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
And candy floss because it's many strings of sugar, right?
Yeah, like floss and yeah, the cotton, I suppose. It's like, you know, the cotton balls and things like that. It kind of looks like that as well, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. I've always thought of that to be like a very funny word for it though, because like, you know, you use floss to help with your dental hygiene and stuff. So it's like completely the opposite, you know.
I know, because it's so bad for your teeth, isn't it?
Exactly. Definitely give you a cavity.
Yeah. So what's a cavity?
A cavity are those things that you, if you eat badly or you don't take good care of your teeth, then you can get like a buildup basically in between your teeth, and then like eventually can lead to decay, and you'd have to go to the dentist and they have to give you what's called a filling. I don't know if it'd be a filling in the UK as well.
Yeah,
like the metal that they put in there. Okay.
Yeah.
So they have to give you a filling. And this might happen if you were to eat too much candy.
Oh, what do you mean by candy? Do you mean sweets?
Yeah, we'd call candy the, you go to the candy store. Do you say the sweet store?
Yeah, we call it a sweet shop.
Sweet shop.
Yeah, we don't use store as much. We say the shops.
The shops. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, candy we don't really use at all, to be honest. Any type of sugary sweets, we just call sweets.
Mm-hmm. In the US, if I think of like sweets, I think more of just like anything that has like sugar in it. So like it could even be like cakes or any pastry or anything like that. Like we'd say you have a sweet tooth because like you want to eat something sweet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
So. That's kind of more what I associate it with than just candy. Candy would be within that category, but it'd be like among many other things. But if you specifically want like the hard or chewy or sour things, then you'd say candy.
But then what is a candy bar then?
A candy bar, that's a chocolate bar, isn't it?
See, that's what I don't kind of understand. Yeah, because it's, I get it. I suppose it's because it's sweet. Is that why? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because do you say candy bar rather than chocolate bar?
I would say either, but yeah, candy bar. Candy bar, it's like, especially when it's more one of the things like a Snickers or any of those that have like a bunch of other things in them, like nuts and caramel and other things. And I'm guessing that's why it's candy bar, because it's like, it's chocolate, but then it's like also a lot of other different things like that.
See, I know this isn't like, we're not talking about pronunciation right now, but you just said another word that we say differently. It's the same word. You said caramel, didn't you?
Yeah, caramel.
Yeah, and we say caramel.
Caramel, that's right.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like it's spelled different though, doesn't it?
So do you spell it the way you say it without the second A?
I believe so, but it could just be that we like drop that sound.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
Caramel, what is caramel exactly?
So again, it's really, it's made of sugar. It's like it's a soft kind of liquid state, I would say. It's that nice sort of light brown color, and it's a bit chewy, and you find it in a lot of chocolate bars or candy bars.
Exactly. I definitely love caramel, like on top of anything is amazing. Wouldn't it be great if there were some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use real native English and make it a permanent part of your life in a way that is fun, natural, and convenient. The best part is you can try it for free with our three-part Power Learning series. We will send it to your email. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod. That's P-O-D to sign up. Now let's get back to today's podcast lesson. All right, do you want to pick another one, Andrea?
Sure. So maybe we should move on a little bit to clothing. And, you know, sometimes men and women wear these as bottoms. And they, yeah, so like a woman could wear it instead of a skirt or a dress, and men wear them as part of a suit. What would you call these?
These, of course, are pants.
No, they're trousers.
Trousers.
Do you never use that word?
No, it's just like such a British word for us, trousers.
Because pants for us would be a way to describe men's underwear. Do you use that for men's underwear as well?
You can call them underpants. Underpants, yeah. Or underwear. Yeah.
Okay.
Or boxer shorts.
Yeah. So in the UK, if you were to say pants, it means the undergarments. So you would be talking about the underwear.
So if you are traveling in the UK and you want to buy some, in what we'd call in the US, pants, and you ask for pants, they might take you to the wrong section.
Exactly. Definitely. That will happen. So you have to ask for trousers.
And I think, like, what would happen in the U.S. if you say trousers at, like, a clothing store? Because they'd know, I think, what it is. But for me, it's almost like I would imagine probably, like dress pants, you know, like for a suit or something like that. Like, something that's more formal than just, like, you know, kind of everyday pants or jeans.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I might try it. Next time I'm in the States, I'll go to a store and I'll ask them to show me some trousers and see what happens.
Have to make a video of that.
Yeah.
And would kids say, like, liar, liar, pants on fire to another kid if they're lying?
Yeah. But again, when we're thinking about it, I think, again, it's referred to the underwear. But yeah,
the underwear is on fire.
Kids do say that.
That's very funny. So you don't say liar, liar, trousers on fire. It doesn't really have the same ring to it, does it?
No, not at all.
So speaking of clothes, like generally in the US, if we're going out on like a normal day, we would put this kind of shoe on our foot. What would you call that?
Trainers.
Trainers. We call them sneakers.
Yeah. Yeah, we know what sneakers are in the UK, but we still don't use them. Like, everyone would say, I'm going to put my trainers on now because I'm going out or something like that.
They're both strange words, aren't they? Because, like, trainers, you're not going out to train, probably.
Yeah.
And sneakers would be, like, I imagine it comes from the word sneak. So maybe it has something to do with, like, the shoe not making a lot of noise when you're stepping around and stuff. But it kind of sounds like if you're putting on your sneakers to go sneak about, like to go steal something or something like that.
Yeah, it does sound like that. And thinking about trainers, I know that in other parts of the UK, there might be slight variations to it as well. So I don't know all of them, but one that comes to mind is I have a friend from Liverpool and she would say trainees.
Trainees.
Yeah.
So we have like other words as well. They, we could call them tennis shoes, even if they're not just for tennis. And we shorten this to tennies. So it's kind of similar.
Okay. And which would you use more, tennis shoes or sneakers?
I think I might use like tennies more. Yeah.
Oh, Okay.
Don't really speak about shoes very often in English, but I believe I would say more like my tennis.
Okay, I see. I didn't know that one, so I've learned a new one already now, which is great.
There you go. Awesome. And kind of continuing with clothes, so if it's cold out, or maybe even like as a Christmas present, maybe you have like an old aunt who likes to knit and she makes you one of these, what would it be?
A jumper. Yeah,
so like in the US we'd say a sweater.
Yeah, I think in quite a few places around the world, you might hear sweater more. Mm-hmm. I've also heard the word pullover. Have you heard that one?
I have, yeah. Pullover.
I feel like that's kind of a European thing. I hear it in Greece and Cyprus quite a bit as well. And they mm-hmm. actually say pullover with like the Greek accent. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's kind of turned into... like part of their vocabulary basically. But we call that a jumper. And then sometimes like if you wear like more of a sports jumper or one that has a hood, we call that a hoodie.
Mm-hmm. We call it a hoodie as well. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's cool. I didn't know that.
And what do you call the, like the pants that are kind of the same? Cause we would call them sweatpants. You don't call them like jumper trousers, do you?
No, we call them trackies. So I think I mentioned this.
Your tracksuit.
Yeah, the tracksuit. Mm-hmm. And so like they would be tracksuit bottoms. So you might like say, oh, I need to buy some tracksuit bottoms or something. But mm-hmm. most people would shorten it and say trackies.
So that's kind of the same idea, I guess, as the American, that it's like sweatshirt and sweatpants. Because like you kind of think of people used to exercise with them. I suppose some people still do exercise wearing like sweatpants and a sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm.
But like now we kind of just the general, that kind of long warm shirt, we call like a sweater or a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have any other ones having to do with clothes?
There is one more. Let's see how to describe it. So women would wear these, mostly in the winter. If you're wearing a dress or a skirt and it's a bit cold, you'd wear these to keep your legs warm.
Mm-hmm. Pantyhose.
Yeah. So our word is completely different. So we call them tights.
Tights. Well, we have tights as like what like actors in Shakespeare wear.
Yeah.
Like just like the whole like tight thing that would like go under like a longer shirt or something like that.
Yeah.
So we have that as well. I think of pantyhose as like the one that's like thinner,
mm-hmm.
that maybe a bank robber would also wear over their head.
Yeah, we call that a balaclava. Do you call it that?
I have no idea what that is. No, I've never heard that word.
Yeah, it's like, it's not as thin as tights. It would be a bit thicker. And it literally mm-hmm. just goes over the head and it has like cutouts for the eyes and like the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's called balaclava in English.
Okay, well, that's one that we weren't planning on learning.
Yeah.
A balaclava. It almost sounds like baklava, right?
Yes, it does. Yeah, just move a few of those letters around. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're going to make me hungry again.
What always happens with this podcast.
Yeah.
So kind of there's something similar that we were talking about, like shoes, and we have boots that we wear on our feet, but I think boot can also be like a different thing in British English, right?
Yes. So the boot is it's part of the car. It's the back of the car where you would put all of your shopping, like when you go and get your food shopping, your groceries, you would say,
mm-hmm.
And maybe a spare tire and things like that. We call that the boot.
Yeah, we would call that a trunk.
Mm.
Not sure where either of those come from, because like a trunk is like what an elephant has, right? Their big nose is called the trunk.
Yeah, so it's strange. And I wonder why in British English it's called a boot as well. That's kind mm-hmm. of a tricky one to make sense of.
And the ones that you wear on your feet, are they also boots? Like, do you have snow boots or is it called something else?
Yeah, we call them boots, whether they're like ankle boots or maybe knee-high boots and mm-hmm. Wellington boots. Yeah.
And what do you call the ones for the rain? I believe you have a different name, don't you?
Yeah, so those are Wellington boots, but we say wellies.
Wellies, okay.
Yeah.
So basically, when in doubt in British, you just add like the YS to the end.
Yeah.
Wellies. So we'd call those rain boots.
Okay. More literal, right?
Exactly.
What do you call the front of the car?
The front of the car would be called the hood.
I that makes sense to me, that one, I suppose, because when you open it, it can maybe remind you of a hood, and then you kind of like put it down. But in the UK, we would call that the bonnet.
The bonnet. So that makes me think of like pilgrims, like wore a bonnet on their head, like the the women. The used to be very popular headwear for women in the United States.
Yeah, that's what it makes me think of.
But the funny thing is, like, both of those things have to do with like headwear, because a hood as well. It's like you were saying, like a hoodie that you put the hood up over your head to stay warm.
Yeah.
So that's kind of quite funny that like, or like Little Red Riding Hood, that both of the names come from something that have to do with something you put on your head, really.
Yeah, those ones are more related.
Very, very strange. And kind of since we're on cars, we in the US, when we are running out of fuel, we would stop at the gas station.
And in the UK, you'd go to the petrol station.
And you fill your car with petrol or with gas?
Petrol.
Petrol.
Yeah.
Okay. In the US with gas.
Yeah, we don't really use gas. It's more related to like maybe a gas heater or the gas stove, if you have like a gas cooker in your kitchen rather than an electric one.
It's like a literal gas, right?
Yeah.
Which gas in, I mean, this gas, the fuel for your car, is actually like a liquid, which I think you were saying was kind of confounding for you in a in another podcast. Okay, so at McDonald's, along with your hamburger, what do you get?
Well, usually we would say chips, but I suppose there is more of an influence here. So we would probably use a similar word if it's in a place like McDonald's. Because how would you say?
You'd use the American word, French fries.
I'm trying to think if they're on the menu written as French fries or not. Yeah, I think we would say fries maybe. Because I suppose they'd ask you as well, like, do you want the meal? Would you like fries with that? In specific places, maybe. Yeah, but generally we will call them chips. Like if it's any other place, if it's a restaurant, or if you go to the fish and chip shop, like we would order chips.
I think chips too, they tend to be, when you say chips like that, is it like the ones that are more like a wedge?
No, not really. It can be, because I obviously I know there are different, like French fries are more the skinny fries. They're thinner, aren't they? Generally in the UK, when we eat chips, they are a bit chunkier. But if they're shaped as wedges, we would call them wedges. Yeah.
So, yeah, in the US, we call them all fries. But like the big thing is always that they're not actually from France. I'm not sure where that came from, because like, I believe they were invented in Belgium. So
yeah,
it's kind of like one of those things that we have French fries and French toast, which I believe is also not from France, which is like when you cook bread with like egg. But if you go to the US and you go somewhere, you definitely want to know the American word, because if you say chips, then you'll get something different, which is like the chips that you get in a bag, the cold chips.
Yeah. And again, so that's the same like in the UK. If you went somewhere and you asked for chips, you'd literally get like the cooked potato. And if you wanted what you call chips that are in a bag and are usually the thin fried potato, we call those crisps.
Which makes perfect sense because they're crispy.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Chips, I have no idea how we got chips when you have crisps, but it's definitely the British one makes a lot of sense. So if something is crispy, what does that mean?
So if something is crispy, it's usually the texture is harder and it's crunchier.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So maybe just a last one, because it's one that I think is quite funny to explain. When you are in school and you used to use like a pencil to write something, and then you needed to, you made a mistake or something, so you wanted to take it back, what would you use?
So we would say a rubber.
A rubber. So we would say an eraser, because you use it to erase.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is quite funny because it's like one that you really don't want to use in the US, because you probably won't get in trouble, but you know, it will be funny for people. And it's quite funny because I actually learned this when I was in high school because I had I think it was actually like my acting teacher or something. We had like drama class, and she used to teach in the UK. And so she said, like, one of her stories was that when she first started out, she was teaching kids, and one of the kids came up to her and told her she had dropped her rubber. So she was really like astounded, like,
She must have been
what do you mean?
horrified.
So, a rubber, do you know what a rubber is in the US?
Yes, I do. Again, I suppose for media.
So, rubber is a condom in the US. It's like a slang word for a condom, which obviously is not the same thing. It's not going to be very useful to erase something. So, do not use that word in the US if you mean the thing that you're going to use to erase
Yeah,
something.
definitely don't make that mistake.
I suppose the word that you use in the UK probably would not be at all confusing for an American, right?
No, I guess not. I mean, we don't even say, I think erase again, you could say eraser. It makes sense and people in the UK will know what you mean. And I find it kind of more of a formal way of saying it. I think in the UK there will be people that use it, but generally my experience teaching in schools and being in school and everything, we would say it's a rubber, and we would say that we need to rub something out. I suppose it's just a quicker way of saying
That's something you definitely don't say in the US. That
it.
has a completely different meaning, which I'm not going to explain right now, but people can look that up if they're very curious. But yeah, it's been really interesting getting to talk about these different words, and we have even more. So kind of like the other ones that we've done with this, we have other ideas to make videos or maybe a post on Instagram or something. So be sure to be on the lookout for that coming soon. But for now, we will say goodbye and give you an yeah, and we'll see you next week. So, yeah. Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all of the notes, like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, music, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our three-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.